Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim is daf Ches. Today's daf, the goal is, first of all, to finish the daf. Secondly, to finish the first mishnah of the Masechta. The first mishnah of the Masechta, obviously, which began daf on, back on daf Beis. So I spent about five blot of Gemara discussing the first line of the mishnah. Not even the first line of the mishnah. The first line. Most of the first line of the Mishnah, or Labar Sarbokin Etz HaChametz, that night of the 14th, we checked for Chametz, so we spent almost two blot of Gemara discussing what the word Or meant, and Bedikas Chametz, and okay, so that's what we've been doing over the course of the last week, and we're going to finish today, and when we finish today, we're going to finish really with a flurry. The first topic of discussion that's going to be coming up in over the course of today's daf is going to be Bracha. Now, Bracha comes when we are mekayim a mitzvah. Whenever we do a mitzvah, not whenever, but most often when we do mitzvahs, so the Chachamim institute that we make a bracha prior to the performance of a mitzvah. It's true both by mitzvahs which are daraisa and mitzvahs which are derabbanan as well. What's this mitzvah of bedikas chametz? It's kind of both. It's both a daraisa and a derabbanan. Now, as the Gemara pointed out already a couple of times, bittul by itself, all I need to do is really nullify the chametz. And that would be sufficient. That's all I need to do in order to get rid of the chametz. Bittul min haTorah is sufficient. How exactly bittul works, we talked about also over the course of the past week. But then the Chachamim on top of that instituted that we search on the night of the 14th. We have to do a bedika. So it's both. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You could really put it in both camps. Either way, doesn't really matter. In the world of bracha, we're still going to make a bracha. We make brachas a mitzvah d'rabbanan. A neres Chanukah. On Kriyas Megillah, we make brachos on Netilas Yadayim. So we make brachos all the time. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Abodik Sar Shiyavarech. So when we do a bedika, so there's a requirement to make a bracha. My Mavarech. So the question is a very simple question: what's the nusach habracha? Rav Papa Amar Mishmei Derava Levi Yerchametz. Rav Papa Amar Mishmei Derava Al Bi Yerchametz. So now we're going to have a lesson in grammar. Either two possibilities, says the Gemara, it's either Livayer or Albir. Now, before we get into the details of the grammar, so you'll notice, by the way, the mitzvah, the bracha that we're making is not al bedikas chametz. It's not over the search of chametz. Searching chametz is, in fact, the mitzvah, but that's not the goal. The goal is to search for the chametz and destroy the chametz. So, in other words, yeah, the process is searching, but the goal is to destroy. So, therefore, the bracha we're going to make is not on the process, but rather on the goal, on the ends. Which means that the bracha is going to be on the beer, on the actual destruction. Okay, so that's just a simple point, a straightforward point. But then we now are going to learn a little lesson in grammar. What should it be? Should it be livaer or al beer? Now we already, in other words, without knowing too much grammar, and I'm in good shape because I don't know a lot of grammar, but without knowing too much grammar, we basically have a basic understanding of the difference between saying the words livaer versus albiur. Let's think about this outside, and then we're going to see a lot of this inside the Gemara. Livaer means I'm going to do something. In other words, it's as if I'm going to make a bracha to do a mitzvah, and I'm announcing in the bracha, here I am, I'm about to do this mitzvah. So that would be li, right? Livaer. When I say albiur, what does that mean more than livaer? Albiur means over the whole proceedings. Meaning, albiur means over the fact that we're doing biur. Doesn't really speak to a particular direction. Meaning, it doesn't say I'm going to do it. Doesn't necessarily mean I did it. It means we're over the proceedings of biur. So the Gemara says, which one's more appropriate? So, my mevarech rapapi amai mishmei derava livayar chametz, rapapa amai mishmei derava albiur chametz. Now, if the nusach habracha was livaer, so we got it. Meaning, that's going forward. So that's lehaba. That means that we're going to do the bedika. So, if that would have been the bracha, we all get it. So, ki pligi be'al biur. The machlokis is, not when we say livaer, but rather al biur. Masav remikara mashma, or masav lehaba mashma. And so, therefore, what it really is up to a debate in terms of which way are we going historically, to the future or to the past? Are we saying albir means we're going to do it, or does it mean we did it already? Now, if it means we did it already, it's just simply not true. Meaning we know, we're going to see the Gemara in just a moment, all brachas have to be made prior to the performance of the mitzvah, with exception.
We'll get to the exception later this morning. But in other words, so what you really want to say is you want to say, I'm going to do it. So we all agree that livayir means exactly that. I'm going to do the bedika. But albior, some say that it means it's pointing to the future, and some say it's pointing to the past. Well, if it's pointing to the future, acceptable. And if it's pointing to the past, well, that's just simply not true. So that's a machlokus. So the Gemara says, what do we make? What bracha do we make when we give a mila to the child? We say al hamila. Now again, why are we saying al hamila? Sounds a little bit strange. Meaning, isn't the al hamila, again, the assumption going in forward is that every bracha that we make is right before we do it. So really what you want to be saying is, I'm going to do it. It's obvious from the bracha of al hamila that the word al hamila means I'm going to do a mila. Not I did a mila, because that's not true. So how some hechinema? Name a lamo. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's the problem. The problem is, what are we gonna, what do you expect us to say? Do you expect us to say Bruch Hashem Klem Echolam Asher Kishanim Mitzav Zivanu Lamol? So that can't be. Lo Sagid Lav Iu Mal Avi Aben. I'm sorry. Mal. So the Gemara notes. Well, normally, right? 9 times out of 10. Recently, I saw a father do a mila to the son, but nine. And yeah, I did the chituch, but I'm not sure if I would count that, because, you know, I had somebody standing right by, checking my every move, and all I did was just a simple cut. But anyway, but generally speaking, the father doesn't do the bris. So the word lamul would have been correct if the father would be doing the bris, but generally speaking, it's not the father doing it. So Avi Aben Ma'ikal Ameimar Nachinami. So the Gemara says, yeah, if the father's going to do the bris, so the bracha you should make is lamol. But if you have the mol doing the bris, so then the bracha should be alamila. Fine. So the Gemara sidesteps that issue. Meisvei, the Gemara asks another question. Bracha Tashem Alkin Machalam Asher Kiddushanim Mitzvot Safet Siman Al Shchita. So now again, when are we making the bracha right before we do shchita? Shouldn't the bracha be lishchot? The fact that the bracha is al hashchita, again, that's an indication that al hashchita is pointing to the future, not to the past. Hasanami hechenema, name a lishchot. And again, the Gemara says, what's your option? Your option is to say lishchot. Lo sagi delav iu shachat. Generally speaking, you're not the one doing shchita. Meaning, when you're about to eat meat, you usually go to a shochet and he does the shchita. It's not common that a shochet is shechting for himself. Pesach v'kacha ma'ikla me'emar. So the Gemara says, okay, what about Karban Pesach? What about Kachim? So Enachinami, so the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. When the owners of that animal does the Shechita, perform the Shechita on the animal, so then you're absolutely right. So then the bracha should not be Al Shechita, but rather Lishchot. Meisvei. And again, you see where we're going with this whole discussion. Meaning, it will be, basically, the Gemara is trying to give some sort of parameter, some sort of guideline of what brachas mean. If the bracha is introduced with a Lamed, Lamol, Lishchot, or in our case, livdok. So basically that means I'm about to do it. If it's al hashchita, al hamila, or our discussion of al habedika, or I should say better, al biur, so then the Gemara says we could go one of two ways. It's a machlokus, whether it's talking about the future or talking about the past. And the Gemara is trying to answer why every single time it says al, why is it that we deviated from what should have been the more normal usage of term, which is lit. Okay. The Gemara asks another question. If you make your own lulav, so you make a bracha shechianu. Not lulatzeis bo. Now you take the lulav in order to be yotzei. Omer shekadishan memasel. It's ivanu al natilas lulav. So the bracha you make is al natilas lulav. Again, why are we saying al natilas lulav? Why not say lito, that I'm going to take the lulav? So the Gemara says, well, you know, as a general rule, well, not as a general rule, but generally speaking, what happens is that I pick up my lulav and then I make the bracha. Problem is, what's the mitzvah? Picking up the lulav. In other words, I did the mitzvah. So that's why the bracha over there is al netilas lulav. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand, even the lashon of the Braisa is strange. The Braisa says, latzeis bo, I'm going to fulfill this mitzvah. What do you mean? You did already. So enachinami mishum dekabay lemitzna seif aleisha besuka tanereisha naim elatzeis bo. So the Gemara says you're right. The point is very valid, And it's only for the purpose of symmetry does the Braisa use the words latzeis bo. But the truth of the matter is, you're absolutely right. Once you pick up the lulav, you fulfill the obligation. Diktani seifa, because it says in the end of the Braisa, Oseh suka latzma omer bruch ata Hashem, Shechianu v'kiemanu v'yigenu l'zman hazeh. Shechianu, when you make the sukkah. Nowadays we don't do that, but and for another time, another discussion. Nichnas leishev bam, when you sit in the sukkah, Omer Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedushanu Mimitzvah V'Tzivanu leishev basukkah. We're going to sit in the sukkah. Okay, fine. All right, so ad kan. So now we have only the beginning of a discussion of when we say al hamila, when we say al hashchita, when we say al biur. Versus the lamed, which means two. Is there any hard and fast rules regarding what is going to guide the nusach habracha? So I'll share with you this. The Rishonim really tried. The Rishonim tried to come up to some sort of rule of when we say al natilas lulav, when we say lamul al hamila. So if you take a look at the third Tosus on the Amud, not the third. It's not here. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Tosha somewhere on this daf says, I'll find it. The second one. No. Tosus on the daf somewhere says that I don't know what the rules are regarding the brachas. Yeah. Thank you. So the hilchas, it's in the Gemara that we're about to do. Virilo matzatam lechol habrachos. Okay, so Tosus says, look, I'm also struggling, meaning I know a whole series of brachas, and I know that basically sometimes we say al, sometimes we say lir. And Tosa says, I really struggle. I struggle to figure out what exactly the bracha is. One other thing. Well, let's just read the upcoming Gemara, and then I'll come back. Okay, so and the Gemara says finally, sorry. And the Gemara says that the halacha is al biur chametz. And good. So that's what we do. The bracha is al biur chametz. To kulei amami al mikar be'inan levruche. Now, again, there was an assumption going into this whole Gemara, which is I make the bracha right before I do the mitzvah. So minalan, how do I know that? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, kol mitzvos mevarech aleihem over la asiyah son. So when I make a bracha, I make it before I do the mitzvah. Over la asiyah son. My mashmah, over lishna da'atumi. Now, even the statement made by Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, is a funny statement. It says over la asiyah son. The word over, okay, it's we're understanding it in the sense of before. How do I know that? The Gemara is going to quote a series of psukim throughout Tanakh that give us this indication. Amrav Nachma Yitzchak Damakrav Vayarza Chimaat Derech Hakikar Vayavor Es Hakushi, and he went in front of the Kushi. Abay Amrav Meach Vehu Over Lifnehem. Another pasuk that indicates that over means to go in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, went in front of Shmos Brachos Vehu Over Lifnehem. He went in front of them. This is Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov goes in front of the family. And the king goes in front, Vashem Berosham. So again, three psukim in Tanakh that indicate that the word over means in front of or before of. Okay, so that in other words, when we say the statement is that all the brachos are made over Las Yasam, it means before doing the actual mitzvah. The Gemara says, okay, but like every good rule, we've seen this time and again throughout Shas, there's an exception. Here too, there's an exception as well, and that is Tvila. Now the Gemara here talks about Tvila, the Gemara is talking about Tvila of a ger, okay, a convert. He's not going to make a bracha before the conversion, for a really simple reason. He's not Jewish. He's not in a position right now in life to make a bracha. After he tofels the mikvah, so then he'll make a bracha. So ala tefila v'al shofar, and the Gemara says shofar as well. Also, you don't make the bracha before; you only make the bracha afterwards. The Gemara says what? Bishlam a tefila dakati gavra lo chazei. So I understand tefila. Okay, so he's not going to make a bracha. He can't make a bracha gavra lo chazeh, he's just simply not fit. El shofar my time up. But what is the reason why by shofar you're going to make the bracha after, not before? V'chitim emishem dilma mekalkalei tekiya. So the Gemara says, because you know, and boy do I know this feeling, where in other words, you have the shofar, it's in your hand, you're about to blow, and you really are not sure whether or not the sound is going to come out. You're at the mercy of the shofar. So, boy do I know that feeling. So, I hachi afilu shchito milanami. So the Gemara says, okay, but truth of the matter is that when you do these complicated mitzvos, sometimes you don't know if it's going to go well. Now, shchita may not go well. Mila, God forbid, but it may not go well. So in other words, if the only reason why you're pushing off the bracha afterwards is just to see how it's going to result, and if it goes well, then we're going to make a bracha, so that argument can and should be true by Mila, by Shechita, and I'm sure the Gemara could have thought of a couple of other examples as well. Elam Rav Chista Chutz Min HaTfilah Belvad. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, correction, meaning shofar, we're going to make the bracha before we blow shofar. That's right. And the Brisa says this as well. Now tefillah is being the only exception. Okay. A number of things just to point out from this Gemara before we move on to the next Gemara. Huh? Oh, well, hold on a second. I am gonna get to that. Okay, good. That's one of the things I wanted to point out. So number one, we have our rules. The rules is that whenever you have a bracha starting with the word le, that means we're about to do something. Al, debatable. Although a lot of brachas find themselves to be framed with the word al as opposed to le. Okay, Tosos, thank you. Now we found Tosos. Tosos says, I don't know what the rules are, meaning why sometimes le, why sometimes al. Couple of interesting things. By a bris, right? God willing, this morning in the shul, there's going to be a bris. So there are two brachas by a bris, right? The first bracha is alamila. What's the second bracha in the bris? That we make it a bris? La'achniso b'vriso shel Avram Avinu. Which, by the way, is asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos of tzivanu. So what's the second bracha? And it also starts with the word le. Le'achniso b'vriso shel Avram Avinu. So, based on what we learned in the Gemara today, when should we make that bracha?
Before.
So you should make it before. Right? Makes sense. Okay, Tosfos, if you want to look, if you want to see Tosfos on the previous Amud, Zayin Amud Aleph. So Tosfos says, Mikan Hayamatzrich Rashba. He says Rashba, by the way. Not the Rashba, as we know, of the Rishonim, that he's a Sephardi, he's Spanish. So Rashba over here, one of the Balei HaTosfos, Levarich Lifne Hamila, Lachniso. The correct time to say the Bracha of Lachniso is going to be before you do the Bris, and not after you do the bris, based on what we just learned in today's daf. Right? It makes perfect sense. So, in other words, so right after the daf today, you go downstairs, and you're going to see the father of the baby. So when he's going to make the bracha of lahachniso, he's going to make it after the bris. So now you can correct him. Please don't. You could argue that. You can make that argument. I don't know if that works. So the I'm just going to read a little bit more of Tosfos. De'ila achra amila yishaker bevirchaso. Because if you make the bracha of la'achniso after you do the bris, so you're going to come out to be saying something which is not true, because le'achniso means I'm going to do it. De'la'achniso la'ba mashma va'oshet zarech levarcho ve'la'asiyaso. Okay, so that's the position of the Rashba, the Rash. V'lonir l'Rabbeinu Tam, and then Tosfos quotes the position of Rabbeinu Tam. It's basically, it's a machlokas. Sfardim, if I'm not mistaken, you'll correct me, I have a couple here. The Sfardim make the brach of lachniso before, and not after. And Ashkenazim, we have this minug that we make the brach of lachniso afterwards. A longer story, very short. So the Rav spoke about this. The Rav says that the bracha of lahachniso is not a bracha on the mitzvah of milah, but the bracha of lahachniso is on a change of status. Whenever somebody goes through a change of status, so you make a second bracha of lahachniso. In other words, he now moves from being a state of a non-circumcised Jew to a circumcised Jew. It's a total change of status. Certain rights are afforded to someone who with a milah. So in other words, the second bracha is going on a change of status. The Rav says also beautifully that that's also the explanation behind the second bracha of putting on tefillin. Now again, this is explanation works for the Ashkenazim. It doesn't work for the Sephardim. Sephardim only make one bracha, not two brachas. But us Ashkenazim, we make a second bracha and we put on tefillin. So what are we making the second bracha on? So the Rav says the same thing. It's a change of status, meaning we are going from a position of being non-tefillin wearers to tefillin wearers. And he quotes the Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam inside. It's a beautiful Rambam that when you're wearing tefillin, you really have a new status. You're not the same person that you were before you wore the tefillin. So the Rav says that you're going to find often a second, not often. I gave you two examples, but sometimes you're going to find a second bracha, which is not a bracha on the mitzvah per se, but it's on a change of status. Okay. In the meantime, that's one point I'd like to go over. The second point I want to go over is when you wash your hands. Meaning the Gemara says we're down to one exception to the rule. I make all brachos ha-mitzvah before we do the mitzvah, not after. And the Gemara says except for the mitzvah of tefillah. And the Gemara explains why. Because when you have a convert who's converting, he can't make the bracha before. He's not a Jew before the conversion. So after the conversion, now that he's Jewish, now he can make a bracha. So he's going to make a bracha after the after he tovels.
But he wasn't really commanded to the mitzvah before he became a Jew. And it's like a circular argument.
Yeah, and in other words, and basically, I mean, again, not for now. We're doing the daf now. But basically, the discussion that you really have to have is that when he makes a bracha afterwards, is it, in other words, are we basically saying that bracha should have been before, but now he makes it afterwards? Can the bracha possibly be said afterwards at any given point in time? Okay. Right, and that's another exception that we make the bracha after, not before, because with the bracha we're accepting Shabbos. Okay, that's all right. But in the meantime, however, here's the points that I just want to touch on. Again, it's just in Tosfos inside. The Tosfos ala tvila omer rach b'shem hagaon dafke b'tvilas ger. Meaning tvilas ger, according to one opinion of Tosfos, is the only exception. The only exception. The lochazi kodem tvila, the lamatzel amemer v'tzivana da'akati nachrihu. And for the obvious reason, which we already pointed out, that because before toveling in the mikveh, he's just simply not Jewish. He's not commanded. So therefore, aval shar chayavit tefillah kengon ba'ker v'chayotze bo motu lavarich yadar min perek mishameisu. But let's say you're somebody else that needs to tovel in the mikvah. But man or woman, doesn't matter. In other words, if you're somebody else that needs to tovel in the mikvah, so you're a Jew, so you can make the bracha before you go to the mikvah. Now gama ketalat tasabi k'rav yudu ba'ker v'shiyachu ispala lavarich ulamu karim tefillah. Alfa piken omari. Okay, so that's, that's opinion number one in Tosfos, which is that the only exception to this rule is going to be the convert converting. But anyone else who needs to go to the mikvah will make the bracha not after, but rather before, as per the rule of over las yasan. Tosfos then brings in a second opinion. Afa pikein omer ri, de ein ligor benashim shemavarchos achra tefillah, kevin de ika tefillah sger, de lomat zelavarch lo chilko. Then Tosfos quotes the ri, and the ri's of the position that no, that really all chayvei tefila should make the bracha afterwards. It's not exactly what he says. To be a little bit more precise, he says, don't rebuke those who make the bracha after they tovel in the mikvah. Right? Our women, the Tosfos says, the Balei Tosfos writes, our women, they make the bracha after they tovel in the mikvah, not before they tovel in the mikvah. And look, even though it's not the same as a convert literally can't make the bracha before because of Hakatu Lo Gavra, because he's just simply not commanded. But a woman, in theory, could. But Tosfos says, but the minhag is, amongst the Ashkenazim, they can make a bracha after they tovel in the mikvah. Again, Sfardim, correct. Sfardim don't. Meaning Sfardim follow that first opinion quoted by the Rach, which is that only the convert's the only exception. Now, v'chein b'natilas yadayim lo chilku b'natilas sha'achar b'ez akiseh do lamatz levarach kodem, levarach kodem miyo b'natilas yesh tam ach levarach achar natilas kon niguv. And now what about washing your hands? Washing your hands is another example where we make the bracha after we do it. So, Tosfos points out a couple of things. First of all, we wash our hands after we go to the bathroom. So there, we literally can't make a bracha before because we have schmutz on our hands. And as we all know, in other words, when your hands are dirty, and especially if it has real waste matter on your hands, you can't make a bracha. You're just simply not in a position where you can make a bracha. So therefore, by Netilas Yadayim, after exiting the bathroom, so therefore, again, it falls like under the same category as a convert. You can't make the bracha before, therefore you make the bracha afterwards. Tosfos points out, you can also make another argument as well. In other words, and we all know that for Netilas Yadayim, we make the bracha after we wash our hands, not before we wash our hands. So Tosfos says you could also employ another argument, which is that even when you wash your hands, that's not the end of the mitzvah. You're still involved in the mitzvah. Niguv, the drying of the hands, is also part and parcel of the mitzvah. And then Tosfos goes on to say, and as a third opinion in Tosfos, basically all chayvei tefillah make the bracha afterwards, not before, for the argument that you can make, which is that really before you tov in the mikvah, you are tameh, and even though, I mean, you're a Jew and you're commanded, but still not appropriate to be making a bracha before, rather make a bracha afterwards. So, three basic opinions in the Balei HaTosfos in terms of what are the exceptions to the rule. The rule is you make a bracha before you do a mitzvah, and then are there any exceptions? So again, the Gemara says a convert. Tosfos says three opinions. Either that's the only exception, or that could be exception, and a tilas yadayim could be an exception, and don't rebuke the women who make the bracha afterwards. And then Tosfos has a third opinion, says that all chayvei tefillah make the bracha after and not before. Okay, so you can see Tosfos for that discussion. Okay, we move on in the Gemara. Our next topic of discussion over the course of this morning is going to be now, how do I check for chametz? Meaning, we discussed when, we discussed who, we discussed why. Okay, so we handled a lot of basic questions regarding bedikas chametz. Now, it's a question of process. How? How do you check for chametz? So the Mishnah actually tells us. You don't need to go and know that much. The Mishnah says, or la barasar boken, so chametz or haner. You check to the light of a candle. Yes, I'll address quickly later on this morning, flashlights. But in the meantime, however, you check to the light of a candle. Le'or haner. Minahan imili, so how do I know this? Amar Rav Chista. Now, by the way, mind you, that the Gemara already kind of addressed this question before, meaning to the question of why le'or haner. So the Gemara said that, first of all, nighttime because everyone's in the houses. And number two, the Gemara says that the candle does an excellent job checking the nooks and crannies, so of the house. So we already kind of touched on this question. You're going to see what we're trying to accomplish over the course of the next 20 lines of Gemara. So the Gemara is going to say it's a gzereshava, not just a single one linked gzereshava, but a gzereshava linked by five different links, getting us from the point of Mitzia all the way to the point of Ner. So you're going to see, we're going to go through the Pesukim. Mitzia me Mitzia k'siv hacha, shivas yamin soor lo yamat v'vatechem. So we have a Pasuk regarding the eradication of chametz, or at least the requirement that there cannot be chametz in our house. Uksiv hasam v'chapis b'gadol hachel v'katan kalav yamasei. And now we have another Pasuk that connects the words Mitzia to chipas, to searching. That's, of course, by Yosef searching the bags of the brothers as they were going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, as far as the connection between Mitzia versus Chippus, so that's in that Pasuk and Bereshis that we just quoted. V'chippus mineros. Now, in terms of searching, we search with candles. D'chsiv, v'yiseiya chapesis Yerushalayim baneros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in the future, Pasuk and Stefania, Treyasar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do a search of Yerushalayim, and he's going to search with neros. Veneris miner, and now our last link in this chain is neris from ner. Dichsiv, ner Hashem, nishmas Adam, chofes kol chadrei vatan. Okay. And so that connects us from neros to ner. Tan deber Rav Yishmael. Okay, before we go on. Okay, so basically now what we have are a series of gzereshavas. Now, the Gemara, if you look back at how the Gemara has this discussion... Oh, not yet. Sorry. Let me do a little bit more, and then we'll make the point. Tan de Rav Yishmael Leila Yudal Botkin Sachamet Sor Aner Afa Pishen Raila Davazech Lo Davish Namar Shivas Yamim Sor Leimatze Bevatechem. The Omer, and so here I'm just going to read quickly because again this is going to be a review of the psukim that get us from point A to point whatever E. V'omer v'yichapes begadol haichel v'katan kalav v'omer beis ahi achapes yushalem b'neiros v'omer ner Hashem nishmas adam chofes. My v'omer v'chite mahai beis ahi kula hu. The Gemara says, why do I have to go from the point of neiros to the point of ner? Meaning that pasuk in Stefania, it seems to have been, we could have stopped the whole discussion right there. As that pasuk in Stefania says that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will do the search of Yushalayim b'neiros. Why go from that pasuk in Stefania to the next pasuk in Mishlei, which is I only check with one candle. So the Gemara says, well, because that pasuk in Sefania, Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing inspection of Yerushalayim. Why is he inspecting Yerushalayim la'asid lavo in the future? So the answer is because he's going to look and see if there are any chataim in Yerushalayim. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does a search like that, it's not going to be a thorough search. Meaning, he's going to overlook the small sins. He's only going to look for the really outstanding, I don't mean that in a positive sense, but in the sins that really stand out. So, the Kamar Rechman lo batkin lo b'Yerushalayim b'nehur davuka, I'm not going to check Yerushalayim with a big fire, the nafish nehur atuva, ela b'nehur deshraga dezuter, I'm going to check with a small flame, it's really small, nehur tfei da'avon rabba mishtakach va'avon zuter lo mishtakach. And in other words, and basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to be checking for only the really big sins, but not for the small sins. Tashma Nir Hashem Nishmas Adam. That's why we have to get to the next pasuk. Because the next pasuk says that when we do a bedika, we must be doing a thorough bedika. Meaning that the bedika mentioned in Sefania is going to be a very superficial bedika that's done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our benefit. Because he's only going to be looking for the big sins, not the small ones. So when we do a bedika for chametz, we need the additional pasuk to tell us that we must be doing a thorough bedika. Okay. Now the brisa. Now we can make this point. The brisa says afa pishen raila davar zech ladavar. Right. There's no. It is not conclusively stated in the Torah that we have to check with a candle. I don't mean candle. I just simply mean a flame. But rather, it's a zech ladavar. We have a remez. It's alluded to in the Torah. Now, why is the Gemara saying it's alluded to in the Torah? Meaning, don't we have psukim and don't we have gzeira shava? So Rashi points out over here that the reason why the Gemara says zech ladavar and not rai ladavar is because if you look at the psukim that are quoted, yes, psukim are quoted from Shmos and Bereishis, but psukim are also quoted from Tzefania and Mishlei. And when you have psukim in Tanakh, that doesn't create a bona fide gzeira shava. Bona fide gzeira shava is only created from one pasuk in the Torah to another pasuk in the Torah. Once you're employing the use of psukim from Mishlei, Tzefania, or anywhere else in Nach, in not Torah, so therefore it's zech ladavar, not rai ladavar. So says Rashi. Tanu Rabbanan, we are on the last line of Zayin Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, invoke in la lor hacham of la lor levana, v'lo laor ha'avuka, ela laor haner. Do not use sunlight, moonlight, torchlight, just use a single flame. Mimnesha or haner, yafel lebedika, because the or haner is perfect for the bedika. Now, perfection comes as a result of 4 points. The Gemara is going to make those 4 points in just a moment. We're going to get to it. V'alfa bishin ra'ila davar zech ladavar shenemar. And again, I'm just going to read. Shivas yamim sor lo'imatze v'vatechem v'omer v'chapes b'gadol ha'echel v'omer ba'esai ha'chapes is Yerushalayim b'neiros v'omer ner Hashem nishmas adam chofes kol chadre baten. Now, okay, and again we go through those psukim that get us from the point of eradication of chametz to using a single flame. Hay or chame echidami e name of bechatzer. Now, sunlight's no good. Sunlight, what sunlight are we talking about? First of all, right, isn't it nighttime? So where's the sunlight coming from? And secondly, what are we checking with the sunlight? So are we talking about the chatzer, bechatzer, amar rava chatzer, and etzricha bedika mimnesha or v'mitzvah yishan? First of all, you don't have to check your chatzer. Meaning, you don't have to go to your backyard, and you don't need to do a bedika in your backyard. Yes, it's true. Over the course of the year, you had a picnic, and it was wonderful, and you ate outside. But don't worry about it, because any chametz left outside, the ravens are going to come, the ravens are going to take away. So there's no need to do a bedika outside. Elabach Sadra. So the Gemara says, okay, how about your patio? Right, your screened in porch. Okay, maybe not screened in, but in other words, your patio, which basically only has a roof over the top, but no walls around it. This is what's referred to as an achsadra. We spoke about this a lot in Erevin. Hamar Rav achsadra lor nivdekas. So the Gemara says that achsadra, what do you mean? There are no walls of the achsadra. And since there are no walls of the achsadra, so therefore it produces its own natural light. What? Its own natural light? When? I'm going to show you an interesting Rashi. Rashi says it. So you just have to deal with it. Rashi says la'ora nivdekes. Rashi, second line on from the top of the Amud in Rashi, la'or shala nivdekes ve'ein tzarich lahavi la'or haner ba'layla ela botka bayom. So Rashi says, as far as the patio is concerned, you check that during the day. It's a funny Rashi. It's a strange Rashi. In other words, Rashi is basically asserting that certain things that have enough natural light during the day, you just do bedika during the day. Now, first of all, in other words, we assume, going into this whole discussion, that bedika can only be performed at night. So now, good. So now it certainly sounds like from Rashi that it's not limited to night. You could do bedika during the day. And if you have enough natural sunlight where bedika can be done during the day, so you can do during the day. I'll ask the question, I don't know the answer. Does Rashi mean the 13th day of Nisan? Does Rashi mean the 14th day of Nisan? Unsure. But if you have it, if it produces enough natural light, so then you could do a bedika. Lo tzricha la'aruba de'becheder. So the Gemara says, okay, so when sunlight is no good, that's talking about sunlight that goes in through the window, or through the through the skylight. So the Gemara says udebehecha. Now the Gemara says, okay, but where's the sunlight no good? So ila bahade aruba hainu achsandra. The Gemara says, I understand. If the sunlight's coming right in through the skylight or right through the window, and now the sunlight is shining right on a particular area, you have great light. What's wrong with that? Ella litz dadin. So the Gemara says litz dadin. So it means that you're right. Direct sunlight, not a problem. Indirect sunlight, that creates a problem. Because indirect sunlight is going to create shadows and cast a shadow, and you certainly don't have the control over the sun to move the light of the sun. So anywhere where you don't have direct sunlight, so that's when you have to wait till night and do a bedika l'or haner. V'avuka lo, the Gemara says, okay, but not a torch. Meaning it's got to be single flame, but not a torch. V'ama rava mai dechsiv enoga ko'or tiye karnayim miado lo v'sham chavyon uzo. Okay, pasuk in Chavakuk. It's hard pasuk to translate. I'm not fully competent, but anyway. But lamatzadikim doke domim bifnei shchina kener bifnei avuka. But the Gemara understands that the pasuk is comparing tzadikim to the shchina. We are like a ner to an avuka, meaning that we tzadikim. Not me, but in other words, but we tzadikim towards the shchina is like a ner compared to the avuka. Fine. So what's wrong with using an avuka? Why not a torch? And of course we all know that when you make Avdala Motzei Shabbos, what's the best way to make Avdala? With an avuka, using a torch. So in other words, what's wrong with a torch? Why torch is no good for Bedikas Chametz? So to this, the Gemara is going to give four quick answers, punctuated answers. Number one, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Zeyachol Achnis Olachon Ostakim, Zeyachol Achnis Olachon Ostakim. Number one, if it's a single flame, it's a small single flame, you can get it into the nooks and crannies of the walls of the house. And into the corners of the house, the torch, you cannot do so. When you're holding a torch, you do not hold the torch in front of you for fear that you're going to burn something. Rather, you hold the torch behind you. So in other words, you don't get the light right up to the area where you're looking. And number three, when you're holding a torch, you're terrified. You're going to burn the house down. So therefore, holding a torch is never good because you're just going to be in this constant state of stress and concern, and you will not be doing a good bedika. And by the way, you may end up burning up your house. I know there are many stories told to that degree. And Ravina Amar, Hai Mashach Nur, Hai Mekatef Aktufe. And finally, the Gemara says, when you have a torch, it's not a steady flame. It jumps around up and down on top of the wick. Look at your Havdalah candle on Motzei Shabbos. You'll see that phenomena, but as if it's a single flame, it has a nice, steady flow. Okay, in other words, basically, if we could just encapsulate all four of these answers into one simple sentence, it's better. It's better to check with a single flame as opposed to a torch. It just creates a more productive search. And with this data now, you can ask the obvious question. Right? We have this thing now called electricity. It's fantastic. We have now something called a flashlight. So how about checking with a flashlight as opposed to a flame? So it's interesting. If it's based on with the last four lines of Gemara, the answer should be, of course. In other words, fantastic. Because if it's a question now of what's going to be efficient and effective, So, in other words, a flashlight, you have all the control in the world of getting the light to exactly where you want it to be. And also, you'll be much less afraid holding a flashlight in your hand than holding even just a single flame in your hand. Right? You're checking under the bed with the flame. In other words, that's a little scary. Checking with a flashlight, that's less scary. So if it were just based on the last five lines of Gemara, so then that'd be great. One of the issues is, and again, you can speak to your local Orthodox rabbi about this, but one of the issues is that the Gemara, not once, not twice, but three times told us the sequence of psukim that go from you got to check the chametz to ner. In other words, there's something right that's connected by psukim. There's something that's something to be said about a ner, about an actual flame. Now, again, it's not a bona fide mitzvah. It's, in other words, it's not a bona fide gzer shava, as the Gemara itself admitted and as Rashi explained. It's it's a remez ledavar, but still it's a remez ledavar. So usually the pshara is, and again you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but usually the pshara is you start with a flame and then you move to a flashlight. That's usually over the course of the years. That's what I heard various rabbanim say. But okay, at least now we're slightly more informed in terms of what the actual issues are. Komakum shein machnisim. Okay, what our Mishnah tells us. Now we're moving on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave us a very simple rule. If I don't bring chametz in there year-round, into this particular place, it does need to be checked. In other words, I don't have to create chametz in a location. If there's no chametz in that place, doesn't need my checking. So the bathroom, although the bathroom gets a little bit tricky because we tend to bring alcohol into the bathroom. I know there are two different types of alcohol. One is chametz, one isn't chametz. But in other words, okay. Let's just deal with the simple points of the Gemara. My lasui had to turn Rabban Chori Beis Al Yonim v'tachtonim. The gaga yitzia v'gag hamigdal. Holes in the wall. Right, their walls were very holy. They had holes basically not only in the walls, but connecting from one house to another. In other words, they were connected. They had townhouses. So the holes went all the way through. All right, whatever. If the holes are really high, the holes are really low, so those don't need to be checked. You're not putting chametz in those holes. Gag yitzia, gag hamigdal. Rooftops. Now, generally speaking, they walked on the rooftops. And the rooftops basically turned into a landing, which they sat on. However, if it's a rooftop that's not used, kind of like our rooftops, you don't have to go climb the rooftop and check those rooftops. Refes Bakar Valulun Umatbain, the silos and the storage houses and the animal pens. Well, animal pens, aren't I giving them feed? So Rashi points out, yes, you are, but Rashi points out, but they're eating it. And again, much like we had with the ravens a couple lines ago in the Gemara, right? You assume the ravens finished the chametz, you assume the animals finished the feed. You don't have to check that as well. Your cellars, where you store your wine and your oil, you don't need to do a bedika. Now, of course, it's very strange because the Mishnah says you have to go down to the cellar and check the cellar. The Gemara is going to raise that in just a moment. The Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Cholakis Pesach Habayis, Mafsek Estrich Bedika. Let's say you have a bed and there's room underneath the bed, much like our beds. So there's room underneath the bed and you store things underneath the bed. If you don't store things underneath the bed, then you're fine. But if you store things underneath the bed, then that requires a bedika. Or Reminu, the Gemara says, fine. So far we have now one brisa. The Gemara says, let's quote another brisa. Let's have a hole that goes all the way from my house to my neighbor's house. Again, it's a townhouse, it's connected. So what do? So I insert my hand into the hole in the wall as far as my hand can go. And my neighbor will do the same. We are talking about a really thick wall. If, in other words, I can't even reach the center and he can't reach the center, but either way. And what about the rest of the hole? Mevat lo belibo, you just do bito and that will be sufficient. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mita Cholakis Besoch Habayis Ve'etzim Havanam, Sedur M'tachteo Mavsekes, Intzrich Bedika. And here the Rashbag says, I don't need to check underneath the bed. Kashi Mita, Mita Kashi Chorin Achorin, the Gemara points out, we're somewhat at an impasse. The Gemara says, no, we're not. In terms of holes in the wall, look, certain holes in the wall are just so inconvenient. The hole all the way by the ground, the hole all the way by the ceiling. I'm not storing any chametz in there. They're just simply inconvenient. The hole that's right by my shoulder, by my arm, So there, okay, a hole in the wall, perfect. I'll store chametz over there. Those need to be examined. As far as the beds are concerned, mita mita lokasha had the midlay had the mitasai. And the Gemara says, as far as the beds are concerned, again, really simple. If there's room under the bed, and I store things under the bed, that needs a bedika. If the bed goes all the way down to the floor, then I don't have to go underneath the bed. Very straightforward. Now, what about the wine cellars? We have another braisa, and oh, by the way, our Mishnah, that says that the wine cellars do need a bedika. So how can you tell me wine cellars don't need a bedika? So the Gemara says, look, there are two different types of wine cellars. There's a wine cellar where basically I store my wine year-round, and if during the meal we run out of wine, so we go into that wine cellar, meaning it's a wine cellar of the house, where we're going to go over the course of the year during a meal to get wine. Now during a meal, as Rashi points out, what the Shamash is doing, he's not going to put down a sandwich. Okay, that's a sandwich. So in other words, he's going to go into the wine cellar with a sandwich in his hand. He's going to, by accident, leave the sandwich there and take the wine. And so that's why that wine cellar needs to be examined. However, if it's a cellar, like more of a warehouse type cellar, where no one goes there during meal time, so then those types of cellars don't need a bedika. Ihachi shemenami. So the Gemara says, well, why can't you make the same argument regarding oil? Shemen yesh keva la'achila, yain ein keva l'shtia, says the Gemara. When you're sitting down to a meal, we know how much oil we're going to need. There's a finite amount of oil that we're going to need for the meal, where there's no circumstance during the meal we're going to get up and go get oil during the meal. Wine, on the other hand, again, I'm not promoting, but they drink wine. And ein keva, and it could easily be that we finish the wine during the meal, and we're going to have to get more wine during the meal. Tani Rabbi Chiyasu Watsu Shecha Bebavel Ka'otsu Estarin Be'eret Yisrael. In Bavel, beer was the drink of choice. So therefore, we don't have wine cellars in Bavel. Okay, fine. But it's going to be the same story with our beer. In other words, we're going to be finishing the beer over the course of the meal. We're going to have to get other beers. So our beer cellar, I'm sure there's a better word for it, is basically going to be like the wine cellars of Eretz Yisrael. Right, grain beer is chametz. Their beer of choice back then was date beer. They love their date beer. In fact, whenever the Gemara says Sheikhar, and it's not explained, it usually is date beer. Bimistopic, and the Gemara points out, fine, and again, same story. In other words, it has to be that they're going to go to the cellar during the meal. Amrev Chista, Beidage, Mein Sarach, Bedika, Vatayin, Srichim, Bedika. What about where you store your fish? Lokasha, Habaravavi, Habazutre. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If it's big fish, where I'm storing my big fish, so we're not going to go there during the meal. If it's herring, on the other hand, the herring's going to get done. And during the meal, what's going to end up happening is that ultimately we're going to have to get more herring. And again, the shamash is there with the sandwich, getting more herring. And so therefore, the place where we store herring also is going to need a bedika. Amar Rav Baravuna, Be'machu, Be'kiri, Tzarech bedika. Salt, also, where we store the salt is also going to require bedika. We get salt during the meal, and the same thing is true regarding wax as well. Amar Rav Papa, Be'tziviv, Be'tamri, Tzarech bedika, where we keep the wood for the fuel, for the fire, where we keep the dates, they also require bedika. Tane imechavin also la'achnis yado l'chorin l'sdokin livdok mimnei asakana. Okay. We learned in a braisa. You don't have to put your hand in the hole. Meaning you have a hole in the wall. What did we learn earlier? Put your hand in the hole. As far as it can go. That's where you need to do a bedika. If wherever your hand can't reach, that's fine. The braisa we just got done reading says don't put your hand in the hole. It's really dangerous. Now, my sakana. Can we try to explain what that danger is? Are you afraid that there's a scorpion inside? You put your hand in and you're going to get stung. So the Gemara says, so let me ask you a simple question. Why would you ever put chametz in there to begin with? Meaning if you're always terrified of getting stung, you would not dare put your hand in storing chametz there to begin with. That would be called a makam she'ein machnis in chametz. It therefore would not require bedika to begin with. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you know that chametz fell into that hole. So the Gemara points out, we know that if chametz falls into an area where, let's say it's buried under rubble, Rashi says, three tfachim under rubble. So if it's buried under rubble, so I don't have to dig up the chametz. It's as if it's already destroyed. If chametz fell into my scorpion hole, right, my house of the scorpion, again, what do I need to do a bedik over there? Can't we say it's like chametz buried under rubble? Hashem sheina kelav yachol chapis acharav. Really depends on how deep. If it's really deep underground, I don't mean really deep, Rashi says only three tefachim, so, but a dog cannot dig it up, so then it's considered buried. However, if it just falls into a hole in my wall, and it's very easy for me to access it, so I got to access it.
Well,
the Gemara, yeah. Well, the Gemara is first dealing with sakana. In other words, you're dealing with this or tama.
But
I think
if you have tama, you then you can't
break off. It's a fair point, but the Gemara's first concern is really that of sakana. You may be right. Now the Gemara says again. So now let's review. Chametz falls into the hole in my wall. I don't have to get it. Why? Because I'm going to get bit by a scorpion, and I don't need to do that. The halacha doesn't demand that I have to get bitten by a scorpion. Good. So the Gemara says, okay, but shluchei mitzvah in nezakin, don't we have a rule that if I'm en route to do a mitzvah, I'm afforded protection? This is a concept of shluchei mitzvah. So the Gemara says, so can I argue that you should do the bedika and God's the helfen? Meaning I will be under his divine protection. Amar Rav Ashi, just give it a moment. Amar Rav Ashi, Shema Tova lo machat, v'ase la ayuna be'efra. So the Gemara says, yes, you're right, but here's the problem. You may not be singularly focused on the mitzvah. Meaning that as you check in the hole, you'll say to yourself, you know, as long as I got my hand down there, I remember, I mean, the Gemara gives the example of a needle, but I'll give you an easier example. I remember I dropped money down in that hole. So look, my hand's in there anyway, and I'm searching for chametz, but while my hand is there, let me also check for some money. Okay, so you're only afforded divine protection when you're doing a mitzvah here. You're doing a mitzvah and also looking for loose change. The Gemara says, I don't know if you're gonna receive divine protection. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, what's wrong with that? That's also fine. Ha'omer selazul etztaka b'shul shiyah, sheyichya ben yosheyah ben ha'olam haba. What if I give tzedaka and I ask God for a small favor? It's almost like bribery. But in other words, but no, it's not. In other words, you're giving tzedaka. It just happens to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Look, I'm going to give tzedaka, but can you do me a solid as I'm giving this tzedaka? Right? So God forbid this his son is very sick, or he wants more olam haba. Whatever the case is, he's asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for a side benefit as he's giving the tzedakah. Ha'reiz et tzadik gamor. Right? Top of the daf ches amud beis. You're good. You're more than good. You're tzadik gamor. That's fine. So I said, Gemara now basically says, your hand is down in the hole, rummaging for chametz, and you're looking for loose change. What's the problem? You're doing a mitzvah. Okay, there's a side benefit while you're doing the mitzvah. That's fine. So Dilma Basa Debadak Asa Leyuna Basra. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what. You did the bedika for the chametz. You took your hand out. You know what? I didn't find the loose change. You put your hand back in again. That's what the chachamim were worried about. That's why don't put your hand in there to begin with. Rabbi Gamliel by Yitzhakam Mishum Sakana Sanachrim. The Gemara gives another suggestion of what the sakana is. Maybe the sakana is of the non-Jews of Plimo, and it subscribes to the opinion of Plimo, as the Gemara is about to explain. If I have a hole separating the walls of two properties, on one property is a Jew, on the other property is a non-Jew. So the Tanakhama says, put your hand in as far as it can go, check for chametz, anything past that point, do bittul. Plimo amar kol atzmo in a bodik mimnei sakana. Plimo says, don't do a bedik at all. Don't put your hand in the wall. My sakana inei, my sakana is kshafim. So the Gemara says, what are you worried about? Your neighbor performing a little bit of sorcery? Ki ishtamish, sheikh ishtamish. So the Gemara says, if you're always worried about that, when would you ever put chametz in there to begin with? Hasam ki ishtamish, yamamo nohora v'lo masik adayte. Hacha leile v'shragohu masik adayte. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look, it could very well be that I stored chametz there over the course of the year during the daytime. And my neighbor is not going to suspect that I'm involved in any type of sorcery or magic. However, there I am at night, putting my hand in the wall that's separating my house and the non-Jew's house. And I'm not only that, but I'm holding a little candle right inside that wall as well, in order to check for the chametz. He's going to think that I'm doing something weird. And, history really speaks to this idea, and it's interesting. I don't know what to make of it, but it's an observation, which is that for some reason, they assume that we do the weirdest things on Pesach, right? I'm speaking specifically about the blood libels, right? I don't know what is it about Pesach, but they got in their head that we do the strangest things on Pesach. So you can only imagine now that we're going to stick our hand in a hole separating our house from their house with a little candle inside of it. So he's now going to charge us with witchcraft and sorcery. So the Gemara says, you know what? The best thing to do is just don't check it. So the Gemara repeats the question, what about Shluchei Mitzvah? So the Gemara says, look, Shluchei Mitzvah is a concept, but with limitation. Meaning there's natural order. Sefer Chinuch speaks about this at length. Meaning you look at the mitzvah, and Sefer Chinuch, look at the mitzvah of makkah, of making a railing, right, around your rooftop, so you don't fall off. So someone's going to fall off and die. So in other words, there's natural order, there's natural law. You can't argue with that. In other words, we can't defy the natural laws of the world. So if it's something, if it's a hezek shchiach, in other words, let's come up with this crazy idea. Let's walk across the Grand Canyon, right, over a tightrope, right?
With or without?
All right, well, no, with a pole, but not tethered. So in other words, there's certain things, certain activities which are just so dangerous. And even if you're doing a mitzvah, meaning you can't say the mitzvah is going to protect you. The divine protection that you get from a mitzvah is a little cushion, but not a huge cushion. So in other words, the Gemara says, so if it's shchiach, so then it cannot serve to protect you. The mitzvah cannot protect you. In fact, the Gemara says, look, I know this to be so based on the following. Shenemar, Vayomer Shmuel Echelech v'shamah shal v'hargeni. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a mitzvah to Shmuel. David, you see him? I want you to anoint him as king. That's a mitzvah. Right? That's the very definition of a mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel to do something. Shmuel says, yeah, but you know, Shaul still thinks he's a king. And he is, by the way. And I go and anoint David. So Shaul's going to hear about it. Shaul's going to kill me. I understand, what are you worried about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told you to do it. So what are you worried about? So Hashem gives Shmuel an Eitzah. And the advice is, you know, make up a story in terms of why you're going over to see David. So what do you mean make up a story? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Shmuel to do? Isn't he afforded the divine protection of a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara assumes we figured it out. So if it's shchiach, meaning if the dangers are evident, so then the mitzvah will not protect you to that degree. We are out of time. I just want to end on one point, and we'll finish up the daf tomorrow on Shabbos. God willing, just end on one point. When Yosef goes and sees the brothers, the father Yaakov says to Yosef, you know, go check on how your brothers are doing. And what happens? Now, we all know where the story goes. The story doesn't end off well. So, in other words, wasn't Yosef doing a mitzvah? Kibrava aim? Wasn't he listening to his father? So it's interesting. If you take a look at Rashi, where does he go meet his brothers? So he meets his brother in the town of Shechem. Right, and if you look at Rashi and Chumash, what does Rashi say? You know, the worst things happen in Shechem. And Rashi goes over a whole litany of things that happen in Shechem, both historically and in the future. And so the Netziv says, it's a beautiful Netziv. He says on that Rashi, why is Rashi doing that? Because Rashi is basically basing off the Gemara that we just learned. Meaning that if it's a reasonable risk, so the mitzvah is going to protect you. But if it's shchiach, in other words, if it's a crazy risk, so then the mitzvah is not going to protect you. So Rashi points out that Shechem is a makom paranios, meaning the worst things happen in Shechem very often. So therefore, Yosef did not have the mitzvah of kibud av to protect him. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. God willing, we'll make up some lost time tomorrow on Shabbos. Okay.